This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at a few different verses. And we're going to be looking at verses to deal with being what it means to really be a father and the importance of a father. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the truths that you would have for us and the importance of the position and role of the father in the family and how Satan desires to undermine and destroy men's conception of what it is to be a father and the importance of it. Lord, speak to us through your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's been one thing that Satan's really attacked. I mean, it's a number of things. We see our nation morally crumbling. We see people being less committed to the Lord in many cases. But one of the main areas that he has attacked that really brought about a lot of what we see in the final results was the attack on the home and the attack on fathers and mothers, and specifically fathers. In the inner cities of many of the large cities in our nation today, and I can think of one in specific, Chicago, today you see violence. They don't even report the violence in Chicago anymore. You hardly ever hear about it, but it's every day. Somebody is getting shot and killed in Chicago every day. There are gangs in Chicago. There are drugs in Chicago. There are many, many, many homes in Chicago, especially in the inner city, where there is no dad. A number of years ago, things were put in place to make it so that it was more economically feasible for the man to not be in the home, because the woman who was receiving assistance from the government for her children would receive more money if he wasn't there. And it began to be the demise of the family. One of the amazing things is what happened in the minority groups where the parents, where the fathers were removed from the home, not by force, but because they willfully chose to leave. And in many ways, that's happening throughout our culture today. In those that lived in higher economic positions and weren't strapped by money, the family has not been under any less attack. All the way from the TV shows that people watch, to the games that people play on their computers, to the movies that we go and see, covenant and commitment between a man and a woman is very, very seldom portrayed. What it has resulted in is divorce being commonplace, but divorce being replaced with a total lack of covenant and commitment at any point, and we just live together as long as we get along. And what's happened is our children have been trained to do this. From the time that they're little, I remember reading a book about the West's concept of dating. And it really is built around the fact that I can always trade this girl or this guy in for another one, and I should play the field and get to know as many of them as I should. And it really teaches how to not have commitment or covenant. Years ago, it used to be that young people met in groups, and dating wasn't the issue. And usually the groups they would meet at would be at churches. And they meet like we're meeting this afternoon after our service. They'd have church meals, they'd have church picnics, they'd have church gatherings. But even that began to change. And you had the segmentation of the church where it pulled everybody apart. The youth couldn't meet with the adults. The young people weren't allowed in the services because they might make noise. You begin to have youth groups that did less and less with the adults. They begin to have their own services separate from the regular service. You begin to change the focus from one of coming to worship God to how are we going to maintain and get our kids to still come to church because they're finding it boring. And so we begin to do things like bring rock music into the church. And I've seen some places where they have rock bands and you think you're at a regular rock concert. You got the clouds coming up with the steam. You've got the lights flashing. You've got the music playing loud and the words that you can't understand. But that's not the only attack on the family. The major attack is on the fathers. Satan understands you cut off the head and you've won the victory. I was listening to the radio this last week, and I called in to just talk about, they were talking about what's the greatest threat to America today. I said the greatest threat to America today when I called into the radio station is the spiritual battle we're in and the fact that Christians don't understand how important this battle is. And we've got an enemy who's very patient and has planned for a long time how he's going to destroy God's people. I got in Gary Kaw's newspaper, I believe it was last winter, he was writing about what had happened in our culture and the things that are going on today where we've seen this moral decline, we're seeing people that are turning their back on freedom and embracing communism and socialism. They don't want, the church is viewed as not significant, it's not essential, where before that would be the first place in a time of crisis. The churches would be full with people praying, calling out to God. Today, we in Canada, they're still keeping the churches empty by law. It's amazing. But Gary Kaw told that the current thing that we're seeing happen in our nation was planned 50 years ago, and I'd say it is even longer than that. But back at the time of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, many of the things that they're implementing today, he wanted to implement. He wanted to stack the court. He wanted to do other things with the government that they want to do today, but he couldn't do it. He had two brothers that were helping him with his plans. They were called the Dulles brothers. That was their last name. They said, we cannot implement the plans that you want to put forth because the church is too strong. We need to destroy the church. It's a spiritual battle. It really is a spiritual battle. We read some verses this morning out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also out of Ephesians chapter 6. What did it say was the importance of the Father? If you turn back with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thine heart, soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And who is he directly speaking to? He's speaking to all the congregation of Israel, but specifically he points out one. And he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Who is the one he's speaking to? Thou shalt teach. The word thou means a singular person. He's speaking to singular individuals. If he said, ye shall teach, it would mean that the whole group of Israel would teach. But he says, thou, that means someone specific. Who is the someone he's specifically speaking to? And who is it when he says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto what? Thy children. He's speaking specifically to the parents of the children and directly to the spiritual head of the family, which is the Father. I want to tell you today, our nation's in big trouble because men have to a large extent, neglected their responsibility nor not even realized they had one. Why are gangs so popular? You need to ask yourself some of these questions. Why do kids join gangs? You know, most kids that join gangs, well, it can be because of peer pressure, because of the pressure there that they have to identify with a gang because of other gangs and they need protection. That may be part of it. But the number one reason why kids join gangs is they don't feel accepted and loved. And if you look at it, the majority of the guys that belong to gangs, if you look at it, they've either got an absentee father or a father who doesn't pay any attention or an abusive father or a father that doesn't understand the Christian principles of raising a child because he's not a believer. But to a large extent, he's not there at all. And they take the gang, and that becomes their authority figure. You look at other people. We have some groups in Fargo. And just if you would ever encounter them and just examine and listen to them talk and look at the way that they conduct themselves and carry themselves, in a moment, you know that they are really broken kids. Really broken. I talked to a couple of them for just a minute. I can tell you, if you look into their background, I bet you very, very, very few of them come from a solid home, where dad is setting a direction and where dad is praying for him every day. And where dad is reading the scriptures, and where dad is doing what dads need to do. The Lord is concerned about Israel. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen. But it doesn't prevent Him from warning and telling them what they need to do. And there will be some that will obey Him and do it, but a lot will just listen, give it lip service, and not do it. What are they to teach their children? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children what the laws of the Lord. In other words, are to introduce them to God. The Dulles brothers said you need to get the church out of the way. And the way you get the church out of the way is to get the men out of the church. You know, most of the churches that I've grown up with in my life, the men were there, but they didn't say anything or do much. And if you go to a lot of churches today, you'll see the men aren't there at all. They've got more important things to do. Playing games. More important things to do. I got to work. And we do have to support our families. But we're also supposed to lead them in worship of the Lord. And I look at the men begin to be less and less in the churches. You'd go to find men for leadership and to do things, and they weren't there. I've given you the example before of a man that should have been fully qualified at one of the churches we went to be a leader, to be a teacher, to be an elder in the church. And we went and talked to him, and he said, well, I've retired. I don't see here that God allows men to retire. He says, teach, teach, teach. Thou teach thy children. And then you can go to the Psalms, and it not only says thy children, but thy children's children. You're to have an active part in your kids' life and your grandchildren's lives. And you're to set the example and the direction and to teach them what's significant and important. Why did God lay this out? Because He knew what Satan's plan is. Get rid of the men and make God's people ineffectual. The Dulles brothers had a plan. And we're seeing the fruit of their plan today in our nation. The church, when this whole plandemic began, cowered in fear like everybody else. Because we didn't go to the Lord in prayer. We didn't trust God is big enough to deal with this. How did the Dulles brothers do it? I shared with you a little bit in one of the other sermons. They went to the seminaries, they went to the Bible schools, and they put their people in who didn't teach biblical principle, but they were in places where it was supposed to be being taught. And so you had young men going to be trained to be leaders and teachers and pastors who weren't going adequately prepared to have discerning spirits to realize that their professors were lying to them. And why didn't they have discerning spirits? I think of a man that he's an amazing man. He's gone home to be with the Lord. Dave Hunt. We've got his books out in the back table, some of them. They're amazing. He wrote some of them just about 20 years ago, and you'd think they were written for today. He had so much insight. But Dave Hunt knew the Scriptures. He had a real discerning spirit. He was able to detect that which was lies and errors in the church and in Christianity. And he pointed it out. And he said, this is how Satan's coming in. This is how he's trying to undermine. People didn't want to listen to him. But Dave Hunt just didn't grow up one day and have this spirit of discernment. Dave Hunt talked about how he grew up. He said, every morning, they sat around the table and they read the Scriptures. And every morning, his dad would ask the kids questions about the Scriptures that they'd read. Dave Hunt, as a young boy, was being trained to be Dave Hunt, the discerning adult that could discern lies from truth, error from that which is real. And he knew the Scripture. It began as a boy. Some people don't have that opportunity, and I realize that. They grew up in homes where there were not believers, or there were people that if they had a relationship with the Lord, they didn't understand. And I stand here today and confess to you, I did not do what I should have done with our girls. But the thing is, this needs to be taught. And we need to understand it. And we've got some young couples in our church, and they're just beginning their families. And they need to understand it's not only them, but it's their children that are their future. And if we don't teach our children the principles of God's Word and introduce them to the Lord from an early age on, in the book of Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Oh, there's all kinds of interpretations, but I tend to take it the way it's written. That it's the responsibility of the parents, and specifically the father, to train their child in the way he should go. And what is the way he should go? The way he should go is what he says right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. And he's yours. And this is who he is. And when somebody else comes and says, no, no, this is who God is, you will know, no, it's not. This is the true God. Because I've trained you to do that. And every child that you have will come to the point where they need to make their own decisions. But until that point, you are the one that is their guide. You are the one that gives them direction. I remember my dad wasn't a believer when I was growing up. Very, very moral man, but he didn't understand faith because he grew up in a legalistic type environment in the Lutheran church where you did these things and then that saved you. But I remember my dad telling me one time when I got to be older and I was I think junior or senior in high school, and so I had earned the right to have some freedom, and so sometimes I'd go with my friends and most of my friends were Christian friends. But my dad told me something one time. He said, I don't care where it is. I don't care what the hour is. If you are with your friends and they begin to do something that you know is wrong, you call me. I will come and get you. Because even if you're not involved in the activity, you're going to be associated with the crime. My dad was giving me great advice. He was teaching me I needed to pick my friends. And I also needed to understand that I could trust my parents were always going to be there for me. No matter what happened. The other thing that my dad did that was pretty smart, he made sure that we were in church every Sunday. Very seldom did we not go to church. He made us understand the importance of church. Today, a lot of people don't train their children about the importance of worshiping God, fellowship with God's people, spending time with God's people. And they say they're Christians, but if you followed them around during the week, you'd never see them go anywhere where there's Christians. And they're not missionaries in a foreign land where there aren't Christians. So what's the problem? The problem is they're not being trained properly. Not being trained properly. And it begins with the father. Hate to pick on you guys because I'm a guy too. And unfortunately, I didn't set the rules. God did. And God said, I'm the spiritual head of my family. And the things that I do and teach my children to do about Him have a direct impact on my home. So one of the things that the Dulles brothers did, besides get the men so they didn't have discerning, who didn't have discerning spirits coming from these Christian homes to go to seminary, and they couldn't discern the truth, and they had false teachers at the seminary, and they couldn't discern the false teaching. They also put into place, like I mentioned at the beginning of the message, programs and things that were designed specifically to get rid of the man out of the home. Candace Owens is a very conservative Christian who stands for truth, and she's politically speaking about things that our country needs to do to go the opposite direction of the way that it appears to be going. But she gave a history of her life. And this is where grandpas come in. Candace Owens' parents didn't do their job right. And so Candace Owens ended up being raised by her grandparents. Much like Dave Hunt sat with his dad around the table, Candace Owens sat with her grandpa. And he trained her. Every day he trained her and her siblings that were with her, sitting with her grandfather. He taught her the Bible. He talked to her about the importance of standing for God's truth, the importance of not following after the lies of this world. Candace Owens says, I got to high school and I got some friends and they were, the scripture would call them fools. And they begin to go, you don't want to listen to him. You should be doing things with us. And she said she began to go down a different road. But there came a point where her grandpa's words and God's word never left. And she said, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I believing these lies? And she returned to the way she'd been taught by her grandfather. Candace Owens black. Doesn't matter. Skin doesn't matter. But people say that there can't be those that would hold to biblical values and conservatives, and oh yes, there can. Because our skin doesn't matter, and God's not a respecter of persons. He only looks at the heart. So he says in Deuteronomy, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Notice where he says the words need to be in the listener's heart. It needs to be in the dad's heart. What is most important to you as a father? If I could say to, if I came to you and said, next Sunday, I don't care if you're in church or not, you can go and do whatever you want to do, you can do what's most important to you, what would you do? Golf, fish, camp, work. What's in your heart? Because we're going to teach our kids what's in our heart. And like I said, God's a merciful God who forgives us and will help us through our mistakes. So if we've made mistakes, we can still start today. I remember hearing a speaker up in Canada one time, and he was talking about all the it might have even been Dave Hunt, I can't remember, but talking about how psychology had influenced Christians and how that so many people had weren't living their lives according to the scriptures, but rather according to men's philosophies and doctrines of demons, and they were doing all these bizarre things that weren't scriptural at all, and yet they claimed to be Christians. And then he came to the driving point, as he says, and you need to change today. He said, but what about all that I've done that's wrong? He said, well, today is a new day. And we can start today. I start living according to this word today. I start taking my responsibilities according to this word today. Today's a new day. I can't change what's gone before. I can pray for those, if I've had children that I have not given the proper direction to, I can pray for them. I can begin today to give them proper direction in their life. They may not want to listen, especially if they're adults, because they probably didn't read the last part that says you're supposed to honor your mom and dad. But I can begin today. Showing them the importance. And there's one last thing that I want you to see that he's dealing with here. And it's in another portion of the scripture. You can go and you can read both. And we don't have time this morning, but you can read in Joshua chapter 24 when Joshua gives his last words to the nation of Israel before he's going to die. And you can read Exodus, where Moses is giving his last commands to the nation of Israel. And both of them do two interesting things. Talk about history. Why would they talk about the history of Israel? Why does it tell us in this verse here in Deuteronomy, you're supposed to teach the kids, if they're Jewish kids, you're supposed to teach them about what happened in Egypt thousands of years ago? What does that have bearing on today? Huge. Why did the Dulles brothers come and said, we need to rewrite history and we need to rewrite science and get God out of it? What do you have in today? When I grew up, how many of the pilgrims had slaves when they got off the Mayflower? I don't remember any of them. What is the foundation? One of the first foundational documents that began to be our current Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all of that came from one document. It came from a couple, but one that occurred when the Pilgrims came. The Mayflower Compact. How many of you know what's in the Mayflower Compact? We did learn about it, but history was already beginning to wane by the time I was in school. I can guarantee you that if you went to high school students or college students today and said, what's the Mayflower Compact and how did that impact America? They wouldn't have a clue. Because they're being taught that because there were certain people in the colony of Jamestown that was founded about 100 years before the Pilgrims got here, that some of them had slaves, that makes America a slave nation, even though nothing out of Jamestown impacted our Constitution. Nothing. One of the main portions of our Constitution is that all men, didn't just say Englishmen, it didn't just say those that have light skin, didn't say those who have dark skin, didn't say those who have medium brown skin. And actually, if you want to get close to it, Adam and Eve probably had medium brown skin. It's a whole other science lesson. But the thing is, it says all men are created equal. And all men have certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know where those principles come from? God's Word. Who is not a respecter of persons? The Lord. The Lord doesn't respect persons. He views every person the same. Every person needs to come to Him and accept Jesus the same. Every person stands accountable to Him for their moral decisions the same. It doesn't matter if you're a multi-billion billionaire, or if you don't have a penny to your name, you still stand accountable to God for your moral decisions and what you've decided to do with your life and how you've decided to act, the lies you've told or haven't told, the sexual sins you've done or haven't done, the impure thinking and lusting that you've had or whatever. Every man stands accountable. Every woman stands accountable. God doesn't care what we look like. He cares about our hearts. And our framers of our Constitution understood that. You know where they got some of that principle from was from the Mayflower Compact. But the Dulles brothers said, if you get rid of that, rewrite history. God thinks history is important. Why? Because He wants to know where you've come from. He wants to know the mistakes. Why does He give us the Bible and God doesn't whitewash the Bible? Ever stop to think about that? He could have made David sound like this great saint that never ever sinned. He could have made Moses sound like somebody who never ever sinned. But He didn't. He revealed their whole life to us. Why? Because He wanted us to understand that we are not great enough to overcome sin on our own. Even if though we have a great relationship with Him, we still need to keep our eyes on the Lord and do what God commands us and not what we're feeling at the moment. David lusted after Bathsheba in a moment, and it led to him committing adultery with her. It led to a child being born to them. It led to him murdering her husband. All because of a moment he took his eyes off of God and looked at a woman. That's why God wants history. That's why God wants us to know where we came from. He wants us to know that we came from Adam, and Adam had a problem. Adam lived in a perfect world, yet Adam chose to willfully sin. And guess what? Genetically, every one of us was there. Stop and think about it. You were there in the sense that you came from Adam. Even though my girls are adults today, before I had kids, in a genetic sense, they were there. They were, part of them was in me and part of them was in their mother. So just stop and think. Satan doesn't want you to know about history. He doesn't want you to know about how he's tried to do the same thing over and over and over again, and he's never successful when God's people turn their eyes on the Lord. He can never defeat God's people when they turn their eyes on God. But he doesn't want us to know that. He just wants us to look and go, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I can't conquer this, I can't do that. No, we need to turn our eyes on Christ. Fathers, understand the importance of your role. Understand what Satan's tactics are, and he wants you out of the way. He doesn't want you in the life of your children, and he doesn't want you in the life of your grandchildren. And why do you think that everything is more important than family time today? I mean everything. And I'm not against activities. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I was in too many of them. But we can make activities for our children so important that we don't spend time with our children to really know who they are and to teach them properly. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. Help us to apply these truths to our life. Help us to realize that you are a God who's big enough and great enough and faithful enough to help us overcome the mistakes that we've made in the past. And Lord, you, if we but call on your name, you will hear and answer. And Lord, do we pray for our kids and our grandchildren. Lord, help us to be men and women who understand, as believers, the importance of these words to teach and to teach everything. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.